Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Molly Marin. I'm the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. It's great to see so many folks on the call today. Just a couple of reminders before we get started. We do have several upcoming professional development opportunities available to you, all free of charge, including two more webinars in today's webinar strand. More information can be found on our webpage at nysrti.org. A copy of today's PowerPoint is also available on our webpage. It's under Professional Development, then under Webinars, and you'll find it under the webinar title. This week, we're very excited to congratulate the winners of the PALS manual drawing, Donna McCann and Marianne Dahl. I'm not sure if they're on today, but congratulations to them. Today, we will be raffling off another PALS manual. We will be pulling those names from those who complete the evaluation. In the last two fields on the evaluation, if you choose to fill them out, is a name and email field. If you complete that, we will enter you into the drawing, and we will notify you later this week if you have won. So we're really excited. It's the first time we're doing that. And we'll post the link to the evaluation at the end of today's webinar. During today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. We are very pleased to have back with us Dr. Kristen McMaster to present the third webinar in our Strand 10 series using peer-assisted learning strategies, PALS, as a class-wide intervention in grades 2 through 6. Today's topic is paragraph shrinking. Dr. McMaster is a professor of special education at the University of Minnesota. She received her PhD in special education from Vanderbilt University. Her research interests include assessment and intervention for children who struggle with reading and written expression. And at this time, we'd like to welcome back Dr. McMaster.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to join you for our third edition of the PALS webinar series. And today, as Molly said, we'll focus on paragraph shrinking. We'll also probably talk about prediction relay, and I'll explain that more in a second here. And if anybody is having trouble hearing me, just let me know via the chat. Just to remind you of the entire webinar series for PALS, the last two sessions focused on an overview of PALS and some details about implementation, like how to pair your students and schedule PALS, those kinds of details. The second session was about partner reading with retail, so we learned about that a couple of weeks ago. And then today I'll focus on paragraph shrinking. And I'll also probably spend some time talking about prediction relay. I realized that I could talk about both of those things in the time that we have. So we'll try to cover both of those. And then next time, we'll spend some time putting the whole thing together. I'll talk about some other resources that are in the PALS manual and, of course, be open to questions that you have. Each session that we've been providing includes a review from last time along with questions and answers. We did send out a survey for people to post questions that they have, and several of you took advantage of that opportunity, so I'll try to answer those questions as best I can. And of course, if you have more questions, feel free to type those into the chat box and I'll do my best to answer those. Here are the acknowledgments as usual. And our objectives, and today, very simply, you will learn to implement paragraph shrinking with the correction procedures that go with that approach and prediction relay. To review from last webinar, we talked about partner reading, and that's the first activity in PALS. The purpose of partner reading is to develop fluency in reading text. The students are sitting together with their partner, two students at a desk or a table. They have one copy of the book and the other PALS materials that they share between them, and they engage in the partner reading activities, which entail the first reader reading aloud for 5 minutes, while the second reader acts as the coach, and the coach listens and helps their partner with any mistakes or hard words using a very specific correction procedure, and marks 1 point for each sentence. Okay, I'm going to try to speak up a little. Is this better? If this is not better, I will pick up the phone. I'm on speakerphone right now. That's better. Okay. After the first reader reads for 5 minutes, the second reader gets a chance to be the reader, the first reader becomes the coach, and they repeat by reading the same text that they just read. Here's the correction card that students have available to remind them of what to say if their reader needs help. So if you remember from last time, there are several different types of mistakes that a reader might make. They might say the wrong word, they might add a word, skip a word, or they might just get stuck and wait for 4 seconds. And if that happens, the coach says, check it, and points to the word that is the mistake. The reader can either say, I need some help, or they can correct themselves. If needed, the coach says, that word is, whatever, asks the word. The reader says the word correctly, and the coach always says, good, read the sentence again. Even if they self-corrected, they reread the sentence just to get the practice of reading the word accurately within the text. We also talked about retell, which is an activity designed to build comprehension, particularly retelling events in sequence. So retell happens immediately after partner reading, and that's where as the students just retell what they've just read. They continue to sit in pairs. The second reader has the book because the second reader just finished reading, and they use their question card to say what happened first, what happened next, and so on. And it's the second reader who does the retell, with the first reader listening and providing any information that the second reader couldn't remember. Now, this question card is in a packet of materials that we shared last time on the website, so you should be able to find it under last session's link on the website. I'll refer to this question card more later today, so you might want to pull that out. After the readers do the retell activity, they decide whether they earned 10 points, and if they did, they mark that on their point sheet. There is a sort of informal correction procedure. It's not on the correction card, but if the second reader is having trouble remembering what happened during their retell, the first reader just tells them what happened next, and they continue on. So a few of you posted some questions about partner reading with retell. One person asked, or just noted that they're interested in how to prompt students, and I wasn't quite sure what this question necessarily meant, so I tried to answer it, but if I'm off track, please feel free to type in what you actually meant. So back to that question card that I just referred to, it's really important that readers have access to that. They really don't need to memorize the prompts. They should have that maybe in a folder with their partner so that they can just pull that out and remember the prompt. So for retell, it is, I'll go back to that slide, what happened first, what happened next, and so on until the whole part of text that they just read is retold. And again, usually that's for about 2 minutes, but that time can be adjusted. If kids are reading shorter texts and it doesn't take them 2 minutes to retell, it can certainly be less time. But all of the prompts that students say are on that question card, a picture of it here too. And all of these prompts are also introduced and covered in detail in the manual. There are scripts that you can use to train the students, and it's really important that you do teach students those exact prompts. No need to modify them. As long as you say exactly the same, it's kind of easy to learn, and then the routine just picks up and is efficient and easy to do. But I would really spend time at the front end making sure that students can use these prompts with fidelity. That'll just save a lot of trouble later on in implementation. Another question, and again, if I didn't quite answer the question as it was meant, please do let me know. The second question was, I'm a little concerned with teachers monitoring a whole group to ensure they are retelling and doing other things correctly. And this is a really good question and an important point that this person was making. So when you are doing PALs, it's a very different structure maybe than you're used to doing. Instead of the teacher kind of controlling the whole class, you're relinquishing your control to the students themselves. So it might feel a little bit awkward, not really being able to kind of have control of the whole situation. But that's where it's really important that you are walking around and spending time listening to kids read. And I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to get to every student every day that you do PALS. I think it's more important that you spend a few minutes listening to them read. That will give you a lot of information, first of all, just whether they're reading with fluency, whether the text is appropriate for them. But it will also give you enough information about the story or the text that they're reading that you can make a judgment about their retells and their summary statements. But that does require you to get a little bit of the gist of the story. So I would suggest picking a few key students who you'd like to target and spending enough time with them and their partner so that you can make some judgments about how well they're doing with the activities. Some teachers keep a checklist of all of their pairs, and there's actually a template for this in the manual that you can fill out. It has each of the PALS activities in a little grid. You can list all of your students and just carry it around with you, and maybe flag the students that you're most concerned about, who you'd like to target. Make sure that you're spending time with them. But also kind of keep track of who you've listened to, so the next day you might listen to somebody else. And over the course of a week, you should have enough time to observe most of your students, if not all of them. Again, if that doesn't quite answer the question, please feel free to type in a clarification. Another question was, if you notice that the partners you have assigned aren't the best match, can or should you change the groups doing this or wait till it's all completed? And I would say absolutely. If you feel like your partners aren't well paired, you can certainly be flexible. You can change pairs. You know, the next time you do PALS, you might even decide to do it that day. There's really no reason to live with a situation that isn't successful for your students, because that might just make it not so fun for you and not so fun for the rest of the students, and then PALS won't be as productive. So definitely if something isn't working out, please feel free to change it as soon as you think that's necessary. Another teacher said, I am a Title I reading teacher, and I work with small groups of 4 to 5. Is this more of a whole class intervention than a Tier 2 intervention? And yes, it is. PALS was really designed to be a general education class-wide peer tutoring program, so more of a Tier 1 kind of program. And the reason why I would especially say it's more appropriate for a whole class is that it really depends on the heterogeneity or just different levels of peers in a classroom, because you really need a stronger reader to be paired with a weaker reader so that the stronger reader can be modeling and correcting mistakes and so forth. The other piece is that PALS was validated as a whole class intervention. It has not been validated as a small group Tier 2 intervention, so I would just be cautious in recommending that you use it that way. And I would also think that if you're working with students who need Tier 2 intervention, they might need something more intensive. Just depending on what their specific needs and strengths are in the area of reading. With all of that said, I do know that teachers have used PALS in more of a small group kind of situation, just maybe as this teacher is wondering about. Again, because PALS wasn't validated that way, I cannot say with certainty that that is going to be an effective approach, but of course, if you are collecting reading data to go along with the small group intervention, you might try this approach and look at your data and see if it's leading to good gains for students and getting them on track to meet their goals. So I would just be cautious, but it has certainly been tried this way before. Another general question about PALS. Somebody asked, I know this is directed for grades 2 through 6, but can it be done in first grade, maybe with some modifications? So I did want to just briefly point out that there actually is a different version of PALS for first grade, and there's also a version for kindergarten. Those are two separate programs. But the focus is very different. It's on letter sound identification, decoding, and fluency. And here is an example of a first grade PALS lesson. So you can see up at the top, we have letter sounds. So the coach is prompting their partner to say the sounds of the letter. Down here, we have decodable words. So kids are using their letter sound knowledge to sound out words. They have sight words, which are Dolch words, high frequency words. In first grade, they're actually put into little phrases so that kids can start learning to chunk words, which helps build fluency. And then they read short stories, and these stories get longer over time. They also have a partner reading piece where they do a very similar partner reading approach as in this version of PALS. The only thing is they go page by page instead of reading for a whole 5 minutes. So some differences there. So just so you're aware, there are other versions of PALS for kids who are just developing early reading skills. So those were all the questions that I received via the survey. Again, if you have other questions, just please feel free to ask them as we go. But now we will turn to paragraph shrinking, which is the third PALS activity. And just to bring us back to our training sequence, over the last session, we covered days 1 through 5. And today, we'll continue with the rest of the days in the sequence, starting with day 6. This is where you would be introducing paragraph shrinking to your students. First, review partner reading and retell, and then you would show them the paragraph shrinking procedures. So on day 6, we introduce students to paragraph shrinking, whose purpose is to build the key comprehension skill of summarizing the main idea of paragraphs. The organization of this activity is the same as before, so students are still in pairs, and in fact, they've just completed their other activities. So they always do partner reading first for about 10 minutes, 5 minutes per student. Then they do the 2-minute retell with the second reader retelling, and then they just continue on. So we go on to paragraph shrinking. That's going to take place for another 5 minutes per student, so 10 minutes total. And they're just going to continue reading on from where they left off before they did their retell activity. But this time they're going to stop after each paragraph and summarize the paragraph. And each student will read and shrink paragraphs for 5 minutes. So if you look back at the question card that I mentioned earlier, there are prompts that the readers will have. So the first reader, again, will read for 5 minutes, and after every paragraph, the coach will say 3 things. First, they'll say, name the most important who or what, and the reader will say the main character from the paragraph. Then the coach will say, tell the most important thing about the who or what, and the reader will answer that. And then the coach will say, say the main idea in 10 words or less. So the idea here is to identify the main idea, and then to say it very succinctly, so leaving out all of the unimportant details that don't need to be part of that statement. In the manual, there are some lessons to teach students how to do or how to identify the main idea. It's a challenging skill for many students, and so there is some pretty explicit practice, modeling and practice that the teacher takes the students through before they are asked to do this with a partner. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a flavor of what the that training piece looks like. There are little worksheets like the one you see here where it says paragraph shrinking practice, the King's New Castle. There's actually materials that you can print out and have all of the students having in front of them so that they can practice the skills that you're covering. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit of the script that goes along with this this handout that you would give your students. If you have your manual, I'm on page 62. I'm at the very bottom where it says, everyone look at your question card and point to the section where it says paragraph shrinking. So I'll just read a little of the script so you can get a feel for how we would train the students. So here are the three things the coach will ask the reader to do after each paragraph to help them make a good main idea statement. Let's read them together. So we'll be reading these three prompts that are on their question card. So the first thing is name the most important who or what, tell the most important thing about the who or what, and say the main idea in 10 words or less. Now let's practice each of these together. And the teacher would instruct the students to open their activity packets where they would have a copy of the story. And the teacher would say, as you listen, we will try to figure out the main idea by walking through the three steps of paragraph shrinking. Then, I'm trying to speak up again. Is this any better? Okay. So then the teacher would read the story aloud to the whole class, and after reading the story aloud, would instruct the students to look at the paragraph shrinking section of their question card and would say, I want you or your partner to complete the first step. Name the most important who or what. When you have an answer, please raise your hand. There may be many whos or whats, but only one is most important. Keep in mind that the most important who or what will always be a person, place, thing, or animal. So then you would give the students some time to discuss and then ask them, who can name the main who or what? And students would hopefully have gathered from this paragraph that the main who or what is King Damien. And the teacher would say, very good, King Damien is the main who or what. So I'm going to write King Damien on this line below the most important who or what, because it's the first part of my main idea statement. So, and then the teacher would instruct the students to go ahead and write, can't grab my arrow there, but you can see at the bottom of the page, there's a line for them to write the most important who or what. So after that, they would go back to the question card and complete the second step, which is name the most important thing about the who or what. So we said the most important who or what is Damien. Now we need to know the most important thing about King Damien. I'll say some things about this picture, and you can tell me if they describe the most important thing about King Damien. And then the teacher would go through and say different things, like King Damien wrote with a feather pen. Does that tell the most important information about this paragraph? And students would have to think about, is that important information or is that more of a small detail? So the teacher would ask a bunch of questions. Students would have to decide, is that important or not so important? And eventually they would come to the most important thing that's happening in the paragraph, which is that King Damien counted his coins to make sure he had enough money to buy a castle. So then they would write that down. Now this is just all for practice. Eventually kids aren't going to be writing all of these statements, but this is just to help them kind of parse out what the most important who or what is, the most important thing about the who or what, and then eventually they practice getting that down to 10 words or less. And this again is fairly challenging for students to really distinguish between the more and less important parts of paragraphs. On that day that paragraph shrinking is introduced, students also learn that they should continue correcting word reading mistakes. So still, if students are saying the wrong word or skipping words or getting stuck, their coach can still help them with those word-level reading mistakes. They also learn that the who or what only counts as one word. So sometimes there is actually more than one important who or what in a paragraph. And if that's the case, they can say both of the whos or whats or however many there are. But that would just count as one word. That way they can use up to 9 more words to create their main idea statement. And as I just mentioned, you're still going to correct word reading errors, but not mark points for reading sentences. So no longer are they getting 1 point for each sentence read correctly. So that was day 6. On day 7, They learn some additional things about paragraph shrinking. So they'll review what they've learned so far. If you need to spend time on how to identify a paragraph, there's some scripts about that, just about how paragraphs are indented and so forth. That's optional. There's also some information about short paragraphs and how to handle those, and they learn about earning points. So one of the main things on day 7 is about short paragraphs. The students learn that short paragraphs sometimes happen as they're reading, often when there's dialogue, so when characters are talking to each other. And so when that happens, it's sort of hard if a paragraph is just one sentence, it's hard to come up with a good summary, but they can combine two or three paragraphs and shrink those together. So that's going to be up to the coach to decide whether they just read one paragraph or whether they need to combine a few short paragraphs. They also learn about points, so they're no longer writing or marking points for each sentence. Now they're going to mark 1 point for each of the 3 statements: the name, the most important who or what, the most important thing, and the 10 words or less. They get to practice that with this text called Forgetful Fay. This is also in the manual and available to be printed out, so students have copies of it. The script for it is on page 75 of the manual, and again, I'll just read a short piece of it, where the teacher would say, sometimes a paragraph will be very short. When paragraphs are short, you will read more than one paragraph so that you'll have enough information to make a main idea statement. This means you'll have to combine 2 or more paragraphs to make a main idea statement. This is likely to happen when a paragraph has dialogue. Dialogue means that characters in the story are talking. You'll know this because the spoken words will have quotation marks around them, and you could draw quotation marks on the board so the kids know what those are. And then you might ask the students to say back what you just told them to make sure they understood it. And then you might say, so let me show you what I mean. Let's take a look at Forgetful Fay in your activity packet. With your partner, I would like you to identify some short paragraphs. Remember that some paragraphs are short because they contain dialogue. I want you to put a check mark by 2 or 3 examples of short paragraphs in the passage. So you can see in the middle of this Forgetful Fay text, there are 3 sentences with quotations around them. They're all short, and so the teacher would help the students identify those short sentences and show them that they could combine 2 or 3 of those sentences, so the reader would read all 3 sentences before doing the paragraph shrinking piece. So that's just to give you an example of some of the practice that you do during training to help students understand how to do the paragraph shrinking. Then on day 8, there would be another review of the paragraph shrinking procedures and some discussion of how to help your partner when they make a mistake during paragraph shrinking. And then they just get a lot of time to practice the paragraph shrinking procedures with their partner. So on the correction card that also says what to do when the reader makes a mistake with a word, at the bottom of that card is how to give paragraph shrinking help. And this is really a judgment call on the coach's part. So as the reader is shrinking, the coach has to decide whether they agree that the reader has summarized the information correctly. And if they don't think that the reader has said the correct thing, they can do one of 3 things. The first time, they might just say, check it. And the reader can skim the paragraph and come up with another answer. If that doesn't work, the coach can say, let me give you a hint. And they can say something that helps the reader focus in on the most important part of the text. And if that doesn't work, then the coach can just tell them the answer. So that's for when they're doing the naming the most important who or what and the most important thing about the who or what. Then, if the reader says the main idea in more than 10 words, the coach simply says shrink it, and the reader gets a chance to shrink it down to 10 words or less. And that's usually pretty fun for students. They like to count up the number of words that they said and try to shrink that down. So hopefully that all made sense. I know it was a lot of talk about a lot of procedures, so I do have a little practice text to do with you. This is from the giant love story that I shared last time, and if you remember, there's a giant named Flumbra, and she is in love with a very lazy giant who hasn't yet come to visit her, so she's trying to get his attention, I guess. And so far, she's cleaned out her cave, so the last part that we read, she had made a big fuss cleaning out her cave. So we're going to pick up where we left off from there. So if I were the reader and you all were my coach, there's going to be little speech bubbles that pop up when it's time to prompt me. I would go ahead and read this first paragraph. So Flumbra had not cooked a hot meal for 100 years. Giants rarely do any cooking at all. But after cleaning out her cave, Flumbra felt terribly hungry. So now my coach, who might decide that that's enough of a paragraph for me to summarize, would stop me and say, name the most important who or what. And I might say Flumbra, and the coach might mark a point for me saying Flumbra. Then the coach would say, tell the most important thing about the who or what. And I might say, well, Flumbra had been cleaning out her cave for the giant who she loved, and that made her really hungry. And if the coach agreed that that was a good statement, they would mark a point. And then they would say the main idea in 10 words or less. So I might say, well, Flumbra, and you should count and see if I get 10 words or less. Flumbra was really hungry after all that cleaning she did in her cave. Now, I'm over 10 words, so what are you going to say if you're the coach? You can type in your answer. Yep. Dorothy and Donna got it. You would say, shrink it. And so I would try again. Flumbra was very hungry after cleaning her cave. And I got it at 8 words that time, so then my partner would mark one more point. All right, you all got shrink it. That's the most fun part. So now that I shrank that paragraph, I would continue reading on. So remember, the reader has 5 minutes, so we would continue on reading the next paragraph. So I'll do that. So she puffed at the old coals on the hearth until they began to glow, and soon flames licked the cauldron. As the stew boiled and bubbled, great pillars of steam billowed out of Flumbra's cave. Soot and ashes rained down on the valleys and sent the sheep scuttling home with blackened faces. So now my partner would say, name the most important who or what. The sheep? Now, if my coach didn't agree with me, the coach might say, check it. So I'd have to go back and change my answer. Oh, maybe it's Flumbra. So then the coach would mark a point and say, tell the most important thing about the who or what. So Flumbra was cooking her stew, and it boiled over, and lots of steam and soot and ashes started coming out of the cave. So if the coach agreed that that's the most important thing, they would mark a point, and they would say the main idea in 10 words or less. So I might say, Flumbra was cooking, and all sorts of steam and stuff started coming out of the cave, and clearly I'm going on and on too much. So my coach would say, shrink it, you got it. And I would try again. So Flumbra was cooking and steam came out of her cave. That's exactly 10 words. And I think I already accidentally marked the point. I'm going to pause there and see if anybody has any questions. It's a little awkward with me doing both parts. So if something about that didn't make sense, feel free to type a question. Not seeing any questions, I'll move on to your quiz. So you can type in your answers. Here's the first question. Who decides when to stop and summarize? Great. Yep. Several of you got it. Lots of you got it. Yep, the coach decides. How does the coach know when to stop if the paragraphs are really short? How many paragraphs should we read? Excellent. 2 to 3 paragraphs. And also, one of the teachers in our study some time back realized that the little bookmark that we have for PALS, there's templates of it in the manual, and you can cut those out, and you can print them on cardstock and cut them out or laminate, however you want to do that. The bookmark is actually a good width to cover up the text and estimate the amount of text that should be read to shrink. So you can always use the bookmark, and it's actually referenced in the script because we thought it was a really good idea. So the coach could do 2 or 3 paragraphs, or they could take that bookmark and estimate how much they should read. And then what happens if the reader is wrong? So the first time they make a mistake, what would the coach say? Yep, you got it. So check it. What happens if the reader is wrong 2 times? What can the coach give the reader if they're wrong 2 times? Yeah. Yep, they give a hint. Great. Now there is a question, is this done on the same text that is used for partner reading and retell? And yes, it is. So kids read the text for partner, it's used in the same book, I should say. So they read for partner reading, they do their retell, but now they're reading on, so they're reading new text within the same book. And that's a really important distinction. So thank you, Kathleen, for asking that question. How are points awarded? How many points can students get during paragraph shrinking? The 10 points is for retell. Ah, Amber got it. It's 3. So they get 10 points for retell, but they get a point per question. It's okay. So just to review, for retell, the students are retelling all of the details in sequence, and they can get up to 10 points. It's their decision if they feel like they did a really good retell. But for paragraph shrinking, they'll just get 1 point for each question. So name the who or what, they get a point. Name the most important thing about the who or what, they get a point. Say the main idea in 10 words or less, they get 1 point. So it's 3 points. So retell and paragraph shrinking are somewhat different because retell is doing all the details in sequence. Paragraph shrinking is summarizing the main idea, which is just the most important thing, leaving out all the other details. And that's for each paragraph. Okay. So if there are no other questions, I'm going to move on to prediction relay. And prediction relay is introduced in day 10. In day 11, there's time for more practice. And by day 12, you should be able to put everything together. So partner reading, retell, paragraph shrinking, and prediction relay would be covered all together on day 12. And after that, PAL stays the same with all of those 4 activities implemented in every session. So students learn that the purpose of prediction relay is to practice the important comprehension skill of predicting. We know that good readers, when they're reading, they're often thinking ahead, trying to anticipate what's going to happen next in the story. And it's a critical thinking skill, so it's going a little bit beyond the retelling and the main idea summary and getting kids to think a little bit more about what's happening in text. Now, students are still in pairs. They're still reading from the same book, unless they happen to have finished the text that they were reading. But generally, they're in the same book. They're going to continue reading on from where they left off in paragraph shrinking. And each student is going to read and predict for 5 minutes. And just like in paragraph shrinking, they're going to continue reading new text the whole time. It's only partner reading where they read the same text. From there on, they're always reading new text so that each student gets a chance to read new text and answer questions about it. So for prediction relay, the procedure is that the reader reads about a half page at a time, and the coach gives several prompts, which again are on the question card. The first prompt they say at the very beginning of the activity. So they say, what do you predict will happen next? And then the reader makes a prediction based on what they've read so far, or they can use pictures that might be in the text. They can use headings in the text if there are headings or titles. But they make a prediction, and then the coach says, read half a page. The reader reads half a page. And then after they do that, the coach says, did your prediction come true? And when they ask that question, the reader can say yes, no, or I don't know yet. So yes, if their prediction came true, no, if it did not. But sometimes they don't know because they might have made a prediction and it's still not clear whether that prediction will come true. Now, it's really important in prediction relay to help the students understand that they don't need to predict the entire text. We don't want to have them predict all the way to the very end of the book because that might be, you know, many pages from where they are now. We just want them to think a little bit ahead. So just about what might happen within a half page. So really try to reinforce that we're not predicting the whole book, just what's going to happen next in that half page. During training, you can talk with the students about what a reasonable prediction is. It should be something that fits with the story and is plausible with what's happening in the text, but it doesn't have to come true. So it's not a bad prediction if it doesn't come true, because that's why it's interesting to read. We don't always know exactly what's going to happen, but we can try to make reasonable predictions. So here's one of the activities that is in the manual that you can use to help students understand how to make a reasonable prediction. So this picture shows a dinosaur battle, and we might talk about reasonable predictions that we might make about what's going to happen next in this picture. And you can see there's some possible answers that the teacher, this is the answer key, so written in on there is the Triceratops jabs the Tyrannosaurus Rex with his horns, so that could happen. And that's reasonable because it looks like the Triceratops is about to jab the T-Rex. Or you could predict that the three Triceratops in the background are going to join the fourth Triceratops in fighting the T-Rex. So that would be another reasonable prediction. They're there in the picture. And so that's just to help students understand what it means to make a prediction about the very next thing that's going to happen in the text. So back to our Flumbra story. We've just been reading along, and again, we're going to continue reading new text. It's my turn to be the reader again. I'm going to have 5 minutes for prediction relay, and my coach is first going to say, what do you predict will happen next? So I will make my prediction. So let's see. I think Flumbra is going to take her stew to the giant. So now that I've made that prediction, my partner could mark a point, and then they would tell me to read half a page, so then I would do that. Flumbra gobbled up as much stew as a whole village of ordinary people could eat, but even though she was plump and pretty, still her lazy giant didn't come to see her, so she would have to go to him. Flumbra waited until dark, then off she lumbered to see her giant. She had to move quickly and get to his cave before sunrise, or else she would turn to stone. So now that I read half a page, my partner would mark a point and then would ask, did your prediction come true? Now, what are the three things I could say? You can type in what can I say in response to that question? People are typing. Yep. So, yes, no, or I don't know yet. Yep. I need to read more. So, let's see. I had predicted that Flumbra would take the stew to her giant, and she didn't. She ate it all up herself. So I would say, no, my prediction did not come true. Flumbra ate the stew and didn't take it to the giant. And it's okay. I think it's good if students take a minute and kind of explain their answer, so they don't need to just say yes, no, or I don't know yet. They could say a little bit more like I just did. So, no, my prediction didn't come true. It turned out that Flumbra ate up the stew. And then my partner would mark a point and would tell me, what do you predict will happen next? So now I would make another prediction. So as the reader, it's still my turn. I have 5 minutes. So I'll make a new prediction. Maybe that Flumbra will make it all the way to the giant's cave before the sun comes up. And then I would continue reading. After I read a half page, we'd come back and check my prediction. Again, I would say, yes, it came true, no, or I don't know yet. And we'd continue on that way for 5 minutes. And then after my 5 minutes were up, I would change jobs, and the second reader would have a chance to read new text and make predictions, just like I just did. Looks like somebody might be typing a question, so I'll pause for a minute here. So here's, oh, there it is. Is only the non-coach reading if both, who goes first? Okay, so thank you, Tricia. Thanks for having me clarify that. So it's always the first reader goes first. So for each activity except for retell, the first reader, who is the stronger reader, reads first, and the second reader is the coach. And then after the first reader reads, the second reader reads, and the first reader is the coach. But it's always the first reader who goes first. Hope that answered your question, Tricia. And I'll review the whole thing again at the end. I know it might be hard to put the whole thing together. So we'll go through that at the end. Good. Okay. How much text is read each time during prediction relay? That was on it, half a page. What are the three prompts? Go ahead and type the first prompt. Yep, you got it. What do you predict will happen next? And then they read half a page, and then they check to see if their prediction came true. Now, there was a question that came up, so I want to catch it before it scrolls off my chat screen here. Jenna asked, do both readers get to predict? I thought that the same text was read so that the stronger reader could model. So the stronger reader models only during partner reading. So during partner reading, the stronger reader reads, providing a fluent model, then the second reader reads the same text. But after that, for both paragraph shrinking and prediction relay, both readers read new text. They do both get to summarize and they do both get to predict, but they don't read the same text, which the reason for that is if they went back and read the same text that their partner just read, they'd just be summarizing the same text or making predictions on the same text, and it wouldn't be a very interesting activity because their partner has already said the answers. So for both paragraph shrinking and prediction relay, they're reading new text. I know that's a little confusing, but that's glad you asked, Jenna. Go on to our next question here. Well, you guys already answered this one. So the three things you already got, yes, no, I don't know yet. How are points awarded? How many points can students get during prediction relay? You got it, three. So they get 1 point for each thing. They get a point for making a prediction, 1 point for reading half a page, and 1 point for confirming whether their prediction came true. So you all got it. Awesome. Okay, so as promised, I'll kind of talk through a whole review of each activity just so you can sort of envision an entire session in your mind. So here's that question card I've been referring to. Again, I would have this printed out for every pair and put in a folder. You can print it two-sided because there's a side for on the back for the other activities. So we always start with partner reading. The first reader always reads first. The second reader is the coach. They do that for 5 minutes. Then they change jobs. The second reader reads the same text. The first reader is the coach. So this is where they begin reading, where the first reader started. And during partner reading, they mark 1 point for each sentence. Each child gets 5 minutes. So there's 10 minutes total for partner reading. After partner reading, they move on to retell. And it's the second reader who always does the retell. The first reader asks the second reader what happened first, what happened next. And they continue asking what happened next for about 2 minutes while the second reader retells as much as they can in sequence. So that happens for 2 minutes. Again, you can adjust that time if you need to. And then after retell is over, the partners decide together whether they earned all 10 points or they can decide if they earned less than 10 points and mark those on their point sheet. After retell, they continue on to paragraph shrinking, so now they're going to continue where the second reader left off. The first reader is going to read, and they'll be reading new text for 5 minutes. After every paragraph, the coach will say, name the most important who or what, tell the most important thing about the who or what, and say the main idea in 10 words or less. And they'll mark 1 point for each step. After those 5 minutes, they switch jobs. The second reader reads, and they'll read for 5 minutes. But after every paragraph, the coach again will ask them the three paragraph shrinking questions, marking a point for each step. And if the coach doesn't believe that the reader has made the correct answer for name the most important who or what, or the most important thing about the who or what, they can say check it, they can say let me give you a hint, or they can just give them the answer if needed. And then if they say the idea, the main idea in more than 10 words, they say shrink it to help their partner. So that paragraph shrinking activity takes a total of 10 minutes. And after that, they move on to prediction relay. They're continuing to read on in the text, so they're reading new text in the same book. The coach will ask the first reader, what do you predict will happen next? The first reader will read half a page after making their prediction, and then after reading half a page, they confirm their prediction. Yes, no, or I don't know yet. And they get a point for each step. They do that for 5 minutes. After their turn, they change jobs, and now the second reader reads, making predictions, reading half a page, and confirming their prediction. I'll pause here and see if there are any questions about that whole series of events. So all of this is going to happen for about 35 minutes or so in one TAL sitting. That's after those 12 training lessons where you're gradually introducing each activity to the students. This is just my fidelity reminder. We talked about this last time. But just a reminder that it's really important to follow the PAL script that really covers all of the information to help your students understand the procedures And it really doesn't need to be verbatim, but make sure you cover the content in those scripts. You can use the materials provided, like the King Damien story or Forgetful Fay. You could also use texts that you select if you don't think that those are the most appropriate text for your students. But the idea is that we're giving examples and modeling and showing students how to do the different activities. I strongly suggest that you use the materials, the question card, the correction card. This helps the students do PALS with fidelity because they have exactly the right prompt to say. They don't have to just memorize those prompts. And then take as much time as you need to teach your students to do the activities. There are 12 lessons, but certainly if you need to repeat a lesson, you can do that, or if you need an extra day of practice. I think it's most important that you help your students understand how to do PALS, and it will go much smoother over the course of the rest of the year. You might also find that students need a little reteaching a few months into it, so you can always go back and reteach them how to do the activities, and implement PALS 3 times a week if possible, just so you're getting the right amount of dosage in, as well as the correct procedures. We've talked about monitoring students during paragraph shrinking. Some of the things that you probably want to watch for are whether students are providing appropriate responses to those 3 prompts. So they're identifying appropriate main ideas, main who's or what's, the most important thing about the who or what. That does require you to spend some time listening to them, and usually just a minute or two is enough to kind of get the gist of what's happening. Their main idea statements don't have to be perfect, but I would listen for statements that aren't just rereading from the text, because sometimes students will do that. They'll just reread the first sentence of the paragraph. So you want to keep an eye out for that kind of thing. Are they making pretty good summaries? Are they leaving out a lot of details and really trying to focus on the most important thing? They might not say it as articulately as we might, but be looking for a fairly good summary. And can they do it in 10 words or less? So those are things to look for. And then also, does the coach really listen to the reader and help them? So I would give kids feedback as to whether they're doing a good job helping their partner, because that's really what they should be doing during PALS. During prediction relay, things to look for are our students making predictions at the beginning and then after each half page that they read. Sometimes kids just forget to make a prediction, so they just keep an eye out and remind them to do that. Are there predictions about things that could really happen in the next half page? So again, kind of making sure they're not predicting all the way to the end of the book. Do they check to see if their predictions came true? And do they keep predicting and reading until the timer rings? Sometimes students think they did it once and they're done, but they can keep going. So after every half page, they make a new prediction. They keep reading and checking their predictions until their 5 minutes are up. I see Tricia has a question, so I'll wait for a moment here. Is prediction relay 10 minutes total? Yes. So 5 minutes for the first reader, 5 minutes for the second reader. So that is all that I have for today. We are a little bit early. I am more than happy to answer questions, so I'll just stay here for as long as needed. This is probably a lot to digest. I think the easiest, or maybe not the easiest, but the best thing to do is maybe to practice some of this yourself. If you're working with some other teachers in your building, maybe doing a few of these activities together with a partner just to get used to what it's like being a coach and a reader, I think that could be a really good idea. Read those scripts ahead of time and make sure it's clear to you what materials are needed and what the procedures are that you'll be teaching the students. So give yourself time to understand the material and practice it yourself. If you can, in the next couple of weeks, conduct the training lessons for days 6 through 12. if you've already done 1 through 5, but if you haven't, of course, start with 1 through 5. I will send out another email survey to find out what questions you would like addressed in the next session, which again will be time to review and talk about some additional resources and answer questions that you might have. And that will be on November 16th. Kathleen has a good question. Can you extend the half page to a full page for older students if their practice goes well with a half page? And yes, I think you can always make adjustments to the amount that they're reading and predicting. So sometimes a half page might not be enough. Sometimes it might be too much. So you can make adjustments based on the particular needs of your students. Again, I would just caution that you don't have them making predictions too far out. We really want it to be the next thing that's going to happen. Tricia says, when do the students stop rereading the passage and move on to new text? Is it after retell or partner reading? So it's after partner reading, and I'll go back to that slide just to review. I know that's a confusing point. So okay. So here's partner reading. This is where first reader reads for 5 minutes, second reader reads the same text for 5 minutes. They retell what they just read, so there's no additional text read for retell. They are retelling what they did during partner reading. But that's the only time that they read the same text. After that, they're always reading new text. So paragraph shrinking, first reader reads on new text and does their summarizing. Second reader also reads new text and summarizes. So after partner reading with retell, there's no repeating of text. Other questions? Go on to the end here. Well, thank you again for joining us today, and I will look forward to additional questions in response to the survey that we will send out. Hopefully you get a chance to try out the activities that we talked about today, and I look forward to talking with you next time.
Yes, and thank you everybody for joining us. We hope you'll be back with us in 2 weeks. And Dr. McMaster, if you'd stay on for a minute, I'd appreciate that.
Sure.